As you heard, our annual baptism picnic is on its way, so we're going to start getting you ready for that. You know, since I was a little boy, I've grown up around cars. I've grown up around cars and motorcycles, I guess because my father loved those. And a lot of cars that I have owned have been cars that were purchased from the salvage yard. Now, I love the whole restoration business. So it comes as no surprise that restoring old, broken down, unwanted, thrown away vehicles serves as a huge picture to me of what God does in our lives. Just hold that picture for a second there, Mike, before we go to the next one. You know, for me, I have always had all kinds of vehicles and rebuilt many from the junkyard, but there's one that was special to me. There was my 1980 Suzuki GS1000 that I bought brand new 30 years ago. I sold that motorcycle after many adventures with it, and I only owned it for about 5 years, and I guess when I got into my 40s, I started to pine away for that thing. I said, boy, I wonder whatever happened to that motorcycle. So over a period of years and pulling some strings with the Linden Police Department, who has a better search engine than I do, I was able to locate my original 1980 Suzuki GS1000, the bike I had originally. It was in California, and I had to pull a lot of strings to make things happen. The bad thing about the vehicle was that it was in poor shape. It didn't run, had some major problems, they told me, but they were willing to sell it. So I had to go through a bidding process, and actually I got the bike. And this is what the bike looks like today, sitting in my driveway. And I love this motorcycle. I have it back after all these years. But what's amazing about this motorcycle when I see it compared to when you see it is the story that's involved with it. What had to be done to bring this thing back to being the road warrior she is today? What happens is I remember all those tedious long hours going through those carburetors trying to find things that needed to be fixed, going through the engine, making sure everything was right. And when I look at that bike, I don't just see that bike. I see the whole story that goes with all its glory. Well, God is really the ultimate restoration expert. And every restoration story, every restoration project has its own story, doesn't it? Those stories have to be told. July 19th is our baptism picnic, and we will do just that day. Tonight, I want to explain what that process of telling those stories and announcing to the world is all about. I want to talk about what God asks us to do and why He asks us to do it. And there's no better place to start than by looking at Jesus' baptism 2,000 years ago. Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. He said, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, Jesus. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, no, it must be done. Because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. See, here we see Jesus setting the example for us of someone standing in front of the world proclaiming that he is a God follower. And what we see from God is that God is very pleased with this. God is delighted when we step forward and announce publicly that we stand with God. Now, I have never been to an opening day of baseball season. But one opening day of baseball season, about 3 years ago, I was at work and they had it on the TV at work, and we had a couple of moments between things we were doing, and I got to watch opening day ceremonies just for a little while at Yankee Stadium. I found it intriguing because, you see, everyone associated with the team was called out just this one day, just this one time, everybody was called out of the dugout and they lined up on the first base line. They called out the captain in his brand new crisp uniform and he charged out to that first base line, stood there and turned to the audience. Then the manager ran out and said, "That's good. Yeah, that's cool. Manager, yeah, captain." Oh, then go all the coaches one by one. They go out. Then the starting lineups, then the backups. They even called out the trainers and had the trainers stand on that line. I was surprised that everyone associated with that team was standing on that line, pushing their chest out and announcing proudly, "I'm a member of this team." I found that to be a very moving picture. And I'm also told that on opening day, you can get a booklet that they sell that day and read all the stories of each and every person standing on that line to see how they came to be on that team. You know, we had kind of that same practice when I was in high school. If you were on the high school football team, we were to wear our football game jersey on Friday before the big game. And let me tell you, it was the one shirt that I looked forward to wearing more than any other cool shirt that I had. And that's because it told people who I was. It told people by wearing that jersey what I've been spending my time doing. It told them who I'm associated with, and it told them my allegiance to what team. I was a Linden football Tiger. And it was quite a journey to getting this moment. It was quite a lot of effort to actually getting to wear that jersey and display it on my chest. The whole story involved with it was all part of it. Well, God has a team as well. And this July 19th, is a day very similar to opening day ceremonies of baseball. You see, on that day, we are going to do what God designed as His opening day ceremony. Because you see, on that day, any new member of God's team gets the chance to run out of the dugout wearing their new team jersey and announce to the world, "I'm on God's team. And here's my story of how I got here." So how God has designed His opening day ceremony is like this. Instead of going to a field and standing on a first base line, we go to a pool. We go to any collection of water and we use a pool. Instead of a uniform, you get to wear your story, your life book. And instead of standing on the first base line, you get to go down into that water, be immersed in that water and symbolically have your old life washed away, which has already happened by what God has done for you. It is really a picture of what God has done in our lives. This picture is a picture that you paint through your obedience to God's command to be baptized. You stand in that water and you pronounce to the world that you are on God's team. And what's really amazing is that God watches. God will have His eyes cast on the Cooper's backyard July 19th. God watches. Your family will watch. People who are looking for hope in the world and looking for truth who are attending that day, they will watch too. And at that moment, you are declaring your membership to God, you are also being God's ambassador. You are His witness, His herald. You are God's teammate. Jesus says, "If you tell others that you belong to me, I will tell my Father in heaven that you are my followers." Now, who of us does not want that? Jesus Himself telling the Father, "Oh, this one's ours. This one's with us. He, she, they're on our team." So I wanted to show you, just before you get there, what baptism, God's opening day, looks like. Questions. Here's the first question.
I was baptized as a child. Should I be baptized again? Well, here's the thing. Baptism is really all about you making the decision to say, I have personally chosen to accept Jesus as my Savior and to serve Him for the rest of my life. We believe that the Bible reserves baptism for those who come to and make that decision for themselves. So if someone had you baptized, we want you to have the opportunity to say, no, I want this. I want to make this declaration. So, for the question, I was baptized as a child, should I be baptized again? I would recommend that you honor God and do go ahead and be baptized. Question two, I'm 6 years old. Am I too young? Well, age will vary as far as who truly understands laying hold of God's truth. But I'll tell you what, a six-year-old certainly can understand that they've made mistakes that have separated them from God. A six-year-old can understand that Jesus paid the penalty to wash away those sins. What we do at Westbridge is that I meet with each and every candidate who gets baptized, who wants to be baptized, and I speak to each one of those candidates, and we find out together, the two of us, determine if it's the right time to be baptized. So no matter what your age, come and see me. Here's another one. I'm not sure where I stand with Jesus. I'm still investigating. Should I be baptized? Well, I encourage you, if you're someone who's asking this question, continue your investigation. Baptism does not get you into heaven. That's not what it is. You need to determine if Jesus is the Son of God and whether or not His death on the cross is what you want to place your hope in getting you admission into heaven and having your sins forgiven. You can continue your journey right here with us on Saturday night. Baptism is only for those who have already made the decision. They've made the decision that Jesus is the Son of God. They are repented of their sins. They accept Jesus as their Savior. And they want to give their steering wheel of their life to Him. So the bottom line for this person would be, no, continue your journey. Let me ask another question here. As a teen, I accepted Jesus and was baptized, but I have not lived a life of obedience to now. Should I get rebaptized? Now, this is an interesting one, and I've really gone back and forth on this in the 7 years we've been doing Westbridge. I've been hammering this thing around. And the thing is this. If you made a commitment to Jesus Christ when you were a teen, or at any point, if you truly, truly made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you truly believed, well, then what God wants you to do, no matter what your journey has been, is He wants you to go back and honor that commitment. You don't need to do it again. He wants you to just pick up the promise that you made years ago. I will also say this, though. There are those who thought they understood at one point in their life when they were young. They thought they understood, and now, after reading the Bible, after doing investigation, after being in small groups, after having heard Bible study a little more clearly, they come that maybe they really didn't know what they believed back here, but they truly know now. I would say to that person, come see me. Maybe this is really your baptism time, at a time where you need to say, I get it. I didn't get it before. I get it now. And I would say, you know what? We're going to get you baptized. As for those who just kind of fell away, and by the way, that's my story. I was saved at 17. By 23, I had said to God, I'd had enough of that. Until it was time for me to realize I had made a terrible mistake walking away from God, and I just gave God the steering wheel of my life. Didn't need to get rebaptized, just needed to honor the commitment I had made when I was 17. So that's the answer to that one. How about the next question? Frequently asked questions. Will not getting baptized keep me out of heaven? Well, gang, there is only one thing that gets someone into heaven or prevents someone from getting into heaven. That is whether or not they have had their sins forgiven by placing their faith in Jesus Christ's death on the cross. I believe a better question than this would be this. Lord, do you want me to be baptized? And the answer here is that nowhere in the New Testament is a believer baptism considered unimportant. Never is it optional. I would point you to Jesus' example that we read earlier in Matthew 3. Jesus, the best candidate ever to not need baptism, according to John, said, no, I'm not skipping this. I'm making my public declaration, and he does just that, and God is pleased with that. So the better question to put up here would be, does God want me to be baptized? Yes, he does, if you've placed your faith in him. Lastly, the questions are this. What do I have to do to be baptized? The first thing you have to do to be baptized, if you're feeling, you know what, I have made this commitment, I'm scared to death, what do I need to do? Well, talk to me. First thing you got to do is you got to talk to me, and we'll make you comfortable with it. As you saw, every single person on that slide, not a single one of them ran for the hills when it came time to step into the pool. They all came in happily, and most of them will tell you, this was a supercharged, powerful moment in my life that I wouldn't trade for anything. So, come see me. It's the first thing you have to do if you're considering being baptized on the 19th. The second thing you need to do, if we get through that process, I'm going to tell you, you need to write down your story. It's so important. Man, we walk through life with gigantic books on our back. Books that we carry around that have our life's story in it. And it's so sad that we don't take the time, gang, to open each other's book and read their life story. Well, that day, we get to hear a chapter of your story where you write down on paper, here's how my journey went coming to this point. Here's how I connected with God. And we ask you to write it down because some people get a little emotional. Now, I happen to be a rock. I don't have a problem with it. All right? So you get a little emotional. You know, it's normal. It fills the Cooper's pool up. It's good. Right? So you write it down. And then if you get in there and say, I'm having a little trouble reading this, Drew. I said, no problem. We hand that right over to somebody who you would like to read that, or we'll have one of the elders read that, and that would be beautiful. And that's why you have that written down. The last thing you need to do is you need to be there July 19th. Come on down. And I think you will find this a powerful time. Those people who stepped into that pool that you saw on those pictures in the video, it's a magical moment. They'll tell you that. From little children up to seniors. It's a magical time. But each one of them were where you are now, at a point where they're a little bit nervous. Am I ready to stand in front of the world and tell them I'm a Jesus freak? Yeah, it's a little scary. Jesus says, if you tell the world, I'll tell the Father. I can't give you a better deal than that. So, I'm going to ask you to take a couple moments as the band comes back and talk to God about it. Talk to God. Lord, is this something you want from me? Because if you do, then I'm going to go see Pastor Drew. We're going to start this process. It'll take a little bravery. It'll take a little courage. You'll have butterflies in your stomach. But I think for a lot of you, you're ready now. You're ready. You know the truth. You've been here many, many weeks with us. You know. Jesus is all there is, guys. All the other stuff, it doesn't work. It's not there. One God, one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. I know a lot of you have stood in your heart and said, I want this. It's time to tell the world.